Thank you, Louise. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we'll begin in the 25th verse there. The Gospel according to Luke, Jesus is telling parables, and he has told the story of a son that asks of his father his inheritance and goes away and wastes it all, but he comes home, his father greets him and celebrates. And then we pick up in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house as he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering his father said, "Lo, these many years I served you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son has come, which has devoured your living, you have killed for him the fatted calf." And the father said to him, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take this time, Father, that you would center our minds on your purpose for us, that you would draw us close to you. Father, I pray that you would continue a work of revival in our hearts. And Father, I thank you for what you want to do in this hour. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a great week. God has been touching lives. He's been challenging people. He has brought many back home to him, and has allowed God to work in life so that people have decided that I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. There's been a lot of confessing of sin going on. There's been a lot of turning away from idleness going on. Some of us have awakened out of being just downright lazy, and God has made a move toward revival. Jesus was making a move toward revival. In preparation, we studied this chapter. This is the lost and found chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And today we come to the last of that chapter. This chapter comes in response to a group of scribes and Pharisees that were upset because Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Without any hesitancy, these scribes and Pharisees felt that they were okay. They felt that they were holy, righteous, wise, and desiring, that they were deserving more than anybody else to be respected. They felt that they had arrived spiritually. Well, you know, there are people that sometimes are in the church that are that way. They don't need reviving. They don't need God to do anything with them. They're okay just the way they are. It's kind of like they've got a "God don't touch me" sign upon them. These felt that they knew what was right in themselves. And they knew what was right, whether anybody else did or not. And they were the ones that God would bless. And they were the ones that deserved God's attention. So God knew their hearts, and Jesus tells them the parable of the lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. These stories point to a God that loves us, that cares about us. They had the idea that God wouldn't want to have anything to do with anybody that had sin anywhere around their lives, much less in their lives. But Jesus tells them of a God that loves us so much He was willing to search after one, as if they had been a lost sheep, just one out of a flock of 99 that would leave the 99 and go after the one, or a lost coin, one out of 10. God would just sweep through all the dirt of the house just to find that one. And when that didn't seem to get their attention, he became more personal, and he talked about a lost son that had gone away and run out of his home and turned against the father. And when he comes to his senses, he realizes he must go home. Well, this week we have had a coming to our senses for many of us. A returning to God's will, a returning to God's purpose, and a coming home. When he came home, the father that he thought would probably chide him at the very best, turn him away possibly, ran out to greet him, embraced him, put on the very finest robe. That would have been the father's own robe. This young boy came in from the hog pen, and the father covered his filth with his own robe. He placed the ring of sonship upon him, and then he killed the fatted calf to have a feast because his son had come home. It was obvious to all that prodigal son didn't deserve anything. He didn't deserve forgiveness. He didn't deserve the love lavished upon him by this father. Jesus was telling all this to everybody that listened, that forgiveness and love do not depend on our worthiness, but on the character and willingness of a loving God. Of a God that loves you and wants to reach out to you and is willing to lift you up from wherever you are, from whatever you've done, and willing to bless your life if you are willing just to come to Him. If you're willing to receive His love is here for you. And we've seen many come back to that love and see God move. God's forgiveness and love does not depend on our worthiness, but on our willingness to receive God's grace, God's forgiveness. It's not according to our works, it's according to His grace. So the Pharisees and scribes couldn't see themselves in the lost sheep. They didn't see themselves in the lost coin, and they certainly didn't see themselves in this son that left. So Jesus turns from the son who left and tells them the story of the other brother. You know, sometimes in the messages of the Scripture, we focus in on things that we think do not apply to us, and we miss what God has for us. We lose the thing that God actually is trying to get across. The scribes and Pharisees had missed it all. Well, maybe this week you missed it all. Maybe you miss what God was trying to get into your heart and what was God was trying to do in your life. And maybe you didn't sense the pull, and maybe you didn't respond to the message, and maybe you just let it pass you by. Well, God still is reaching out. And the good news is God still wants you. And God is willing to bless your life, and God is willing to do a work in your life. You just have to come to Him. You have to be willing to receive it. So Jesus tells this story, the other brother. It's a story of surprise in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Here's the other brother. Unlike his younger brother, he stayed and worked in the field and worked for his father and tried to do what his father wanted him to do. He obeyed what his father said. And now he's coming back home. He's worked all day. He's just wanting to get a good meal and get to bed, get some rest. But as he comes close to the house, he hears music. He hears a commotion going on. His father had been mourning his brother when he left the house, and now he's coming back, and there's some kind of celebration going on. And to make it worse, nobody's told him anything about it. And so he sees a servant, and he inquires about what's going on, and to his amazement, he finds out that his good-for-nothing brother has come back. And not only had his good-for-nothing brother come back, his father was celebrating. Now, the other brother had gotten some kind of word about what his younger brother had been up to. We know this because later in the passage, he's going to address the fact that his other brother had wasted all of his father's money. The older brother is angry. He not only is upset that a party's being thrown, he finds out that his father had the nerve to kill the fatted calf. Now, to us in Georgia, that doesn't sound like a big deal. We celebrate killing fatted calves all the time. Fatted cogs, fatted calves, a few fatted chickens, turkey. I mean, you know, we're all in. But the fatted calf was different. This wasn't just one culled out of the herd. This was an animal that was separated from birth and put in a special pen that was fed special food that was tended to in a gracious manner and catered to, because this animal was set aside for a special purpose. You see, the only time you would kill the fatted calf was when there was a special time of worship and you were ready to give a sacrifice to God and you wanted to give him your very, very best, and this was your very, very best. Now, there might be another occasion. If a member of royalty came to your house and you had to honor that royalty, maybe in that occasion you would kill the fatted calf. Or perhaps for the other brother, he kind of thought the only time that they would kill the fatted calf was when, was when he got married. They might kill the fatted calf for his wedding. But for his brother, for this brother that had gone out and lived in debauchery, for this brother that didn't deserve anything, the older brother could see if his father had killed the fatted calf for something good, it would be okay. But he didn't see this as being something good. In fact, he kind of thought that his younger brother didn't deserve anything. If anything, he probably thought the best that you should give that good-for-nothing brother of mine is what the lowest servant in the house is eating. Just by coincidence, that's exactly what the younger brother thought that he deserved. Because when he came back to the father's house, he wasn't expecting to be greeted as a son. He was expecting to be greeted and perhaps taken in as a lowly servant. So there's a surprise. There's a surprise at the party being thrown for his good-for-nothing brother. And that was very much like the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees. And it's kind of like the attitude of people that just pass God by, that look at church people and think that we're all idiots, that just don't really think anything can really happen in your life because nothing's happening in their lives, and so they just push you aside. They had been surprised at the celebration. They didn't understand the love and forgiveness offered by a loving Heavenly Father. The fact that God loves us is indeed surprising. We should be cast out. There, truthfully, there is not a one of us that deserves to even stand in a house of worship. And yet God welcomes us. We don't deserve, I certainly do not deserve to open God's word, and yet God urges us to do it. There's not one thing the younger brother could do to erase his sin. And you know what? There's not one thing I can do to erase mine. And there's not one thing you can do to erase yours. Yet, there this younger brother is in the father's house, covered in his father's own robe, with a ring of sonship on his hand, eating the meat of the fatted calf. The younger son didn't deserve the way he was being treated. He is the recipient of grace. When I come to God's house, I know I don't deserve to be here, but I praise God that I am the recipient of grace. Jesus is revealing that God is willing to be merciful to sinners. He doesn't treat us like we should be treated. He treats us in love. He treats us in mercy. He is revealing a God who is gracious towards sinners and offers us a life that we cannot earn and we cannot deserve and we cannot get apart from Him. The older brother, the other brother, was surprised of his father's actions. The younger brother, who repented and received this great blessing of his father, was surprised that he was loved and received. And I assure you, the Pharisees and scribes were surprised that Jesus was calling them out for their own selfish sinfulness. Used to be a television show on Andy Griffith. Maybe some of you people are familiar with Andy Griffith, and you know Barney, and you know Andy. Perhaps you know Gomer Pyle. Well, Gomer Pyle joined the Marine Corps and had a show of his own, and it was not uncommon for Gomer Pyle to express surprise. In fact, he did it by saying, "Surprise, surprise, surprise." Well, in this story, we have surprise, surprise, surprise. But it's not only a story of surprise, it's a story of selfishness. In verse 29, "And he said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I against your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends.'" The other brother didn't care about the desire of his father to be happy that his child was safe at home. He didn't care that his brother could have died and yet was there safe in his home. He didn't care that the father, whose heart was broken, was rejoicing to see his son again. No, he was wrapped up in his own selfishness. Five times in this verse of Scripture, you will see it's about me and my. Well, how many times is what you do around a church about me and my? How much of it is about my music or about what I want to hear or about, how I want things done? It would have been the duty of the older brother to be a co-host of any celebration that his father deemed to throw. And yet, not only did he not co-host it, he would not even go in. And you know what? I think he was tied up in the wealth issue. I think to him, it was about stuff. You know why a lot of people don't serve God? Because they're tied up in the wealth issue, and for them it's about stuff. And they're just kind of living to get stuff and hoarding stuff. Notice he tells the father, "You never gave me a kid so I could have a party with my friends. You spent this on him. You didn't spend it on me. Verse 30, you see his focus. He says, as soon as your son was come, who devoured your living, your son, not my brother, your son. It's as if the other brother was more concerned with the robe being given and the fatted calf being given and the wealth being given than he was the concern of his father or his brother. He doesn't acknowledge his brother. He says, your son. The father sees through him very quickly. By the way, God sees through us, doesn't he? You know, you can fool me. I'm a Baptist preacher. We're pretty easy to fool. You know, it's hard to fool your mama. But it's impossible to fool God. The Father sees you just like you are. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows whether you are here to serve him or whether you're just filling space. He knows that. In verse 31, and he said to him, son, you are ever with me, and all I have is yours. Can I tell you, it really grieves me. We will have some dear saint pass away, go home to glory, and we'll be going through the processes of the funeral. And it really grieves me when I see some people that are far more interested in the stuff than they are that their loved one has died. That they get all caught up in the things, in what they're going to get, or more importantly, I don't want them to have it. Focusing on our own stuff, focusing on our own way, not caring about God's way and not caring about God's wishes and desires. The Pharisees and the scribes didn't care about what God thought. They didn't care about souls. They didn't care about other people being saved. They just wanted things their way. They wanted people bowing down to them. They wanted to be lifted up. You will never find out about what life is supposed to be until you're willing to put your focus off of you and onto the Father. That's what revival is about. It's really just getting us to get our focus where our focus needs to be. We need to turn from selfishness, and we need to turn from sin, and we need to focus on a Father who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. Selfishness kept the Pharisees and scribes from seeing the Messiah. Is it possible that your own selfishness, it's what's keeping you from being what God wants you to be? Get your eyes off of you. Put your eyes upon Jesus. Put your eyes upon the Lord God. Turn from selfishness and see what God has for you, and you will find your life far more blessed than you could ever dream that it would be. The wayward brother, the one that went out, the one that came back home, he never thought he could be loved of the Father again. But here he is in the Father's robe with the ring of sonship in the Father's house eating the fatted calf. What I've got to tell you is no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you are away from God, God will welcome you home. And so we see satisfaction. You got to turn away from the other brother to find it, but it's here in verse 32. It was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. The father makes a move. By the way, if you study this scripture, you're going to find that the Father is always the one that makes the move. God makes the move on you before you ever think to make the move on Him. God is searching for you. God wants you more than you ever have thought about wanting Him. God loves you more than you ever thought about loving Him. This father did not wait for the wayward son to come to him. He ran to meet him. He was excited to have this child coming back. And all he had to know was he wanted to come home. He was willing to come home. He was willing to come back into his father's house. And the father came to get him. And here, there's the other brother. Wouldn't even come into the house. I'm not going to be in there with them having that party, and I wasn't invited, and I didn't do it. So the father leaves the celebration and comes out to the other brother. I don't care what you've missed out on so far. I'm telling you, the Father comes to you. The Holy Spirit comes to you and speaks to your heart. The Holy Spirit lets you know that God has a plan for you and God has a purpose for you, and your life isn't over yet. If you are breathing, that means you still have purpose and God still wants to use you and God is willing to bless and use you, but you have to be willing to accept what God wants for you. The only reason that the younger brother is now excited and pleased and joyful and the older brother is sitting out back as a grump is because the older brother wasn't willing to receive the father. Hey, he looked good. He had been at the father's house. He didn't even go away. But in his heart, he had a problem. The younger brother was willing. He came, he fell down before his father seeking forgiveness. And the father rejoices. The father is satisfied being able to celebrate with one son that comes home. The father is excited for one son that's turned from sin and is willing to be in the father's will. Now, the father wanted both sons that way, but he was excited for the one that was. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if you will just come to Him, if you will receive Him as your Savior and Lord, He will save your soul. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been. Jesus died for you on the cross, and He will welcome you into the family. You just have to be willing to come and say, I want Jesus. But if you're like the older brother, if you know, you may have never done anything really that bad, you may think that you're okay just the way you are. You even show up at church. Praise God that you do. But is there a chance that you have never, ever submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Is there a chance that you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior? If there is any chance of that and you want to know the Lord, then you need to come to know the Lord. He's opened the door for you. You just need to be able to respond to Him, and that's up to you. But the bulk of the people in this room are already saved, and thank God that you are. You know that you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. But how are you living for the Lord now? Hey, there was a revival meeting. It may have passed you by, or you may have come, and it may have been some good meetings, some good music, and some good speaking, and that was great entertainment. But it wasn't for entertainment. God wants to do something with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to touch other lives through you. You know, one of the real sad things in this chapter, this other brother heard that his younger brother had lost it all and was scavenging, trying to survive, and he didn't care enough to try to go help him. How much is that like those of us that know Jesus, that know that we're saved, we know we're okay, but we don't even care to go help those around us that are headed toward hell? Or we don't even care to go after a Sunday school class member that just doesn't seem to come. They came once, but came a little while, and they were part of us, but they went out from us, and we've never even gone and tried to bring them back. It's kind of like the other brother. As far as I know, if you read this chapter again and again, there is never one point when the other brother makes the right decision. And that is heartbreaking. You don't have to be the other brother. You got a chance. If you're right where God wants you to be, praise God that you are. I'm so thankful that you are, and we're going to see God do great things through your life and in your life, and that's what I want to happen. I want that to happen in my life. I want it to happen in yours. But if there is a chance that you have let everything pass you by and you haven't responded to what God has wanted to do in your life, and you haven't been willing to receive the forgiveness that he has for you, you haven't been caught up maybe in your own selfishness too much, maybe today is the day and today is the opportunity when God's got a door open that he's willing to work in your life, work in your heart, do something different in you, and make you what he wants you to be. And if you're willing to respond to Jesus, oh my goodness. Just as the father in this story ran to meet the younger son, you will be met by the loving God whose son died for you. You will be embraced by the Spirit of the Lord who is willing to fill you and bless you. But it's really your decision. God's arms are open wide. The Father was ready to receive his sons. What are you going to do? Now, if you're a believer, praise God, but you're out of step, just come to the altar. Just bow before God. Just ask God to forgive and restore you, and he will. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's a chance that you're out of step with God because you've never come to meet Jesus, would you just please come to me and say, I want Jesus? We will pray together and Jesus will save your soul today. You don't have to be without Jesus. And believer, if you've gotten away from the Lord, you don't have to stay that way. God's arms are open wide. It's up to you. And maybe you're here and you need a church home and God's told you this is the place. Well, just come and say, I'd like to be part of this family. And we will welcome you into our home. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word of challenge to our hearts. Father, in this room are some who do not know you, and God, I pray that they will not leave here without knowing you. They would be willing to come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, in this room are believers that, Lord, truthfully, were just passed by revival because they just didn't tune in to you. And Father, there were some that you began a work in, but they just didn't yield to that work. And Lord, now you're trying to get their attention again. Father, I pray that no matter where you find us, that we would be willing to yield to you, to put you first, to seek your desire. Father, to have your best in our lives, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Move within us now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?